absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Hello and welcome to show 173 of our podcast, Absolutely Intercultural. My name is Laurent Borgmann and I will be your host today for our show, which will be all about opportunities for intercultural preparation and lifelong learning. Moving to a foreign country may require special preparation to get along with different cultural conventions in your new environment. If you're trained to pay attention to intercultural details, you will discover many differences during your stay abroad. Now, have you ever made an intercultural experience where you felt as if you had been thrown into the cold intercultural water? Perhaps a situation which made you wish you had taken an intercultural preparation class to be better prepared for situations like that? Actually, there are so many different cultures with so many different conventions which can never be taught in one single classroom. So we asked ourselves, how can we achieve intercultural awareness and be well prepared for such varied situations? In our first category, Absolutely Meaningful, I interviewed Domas, who was born in Lithuania. He came to Germany to study playing the violin and felt that he wanted to share his newly acquired skills all over the world by creating an online learning platform called KeenJar.
And we're thinking, what could we do? Something more meaningful and something which could affect lives and improve lives of many, many people.
I interviewed Colette for the second category, Absolutely Experienced. She's originally from Kenya in Africa and moderates a hands-on intercultural preparation course. But she will also share some of her own first intercultural experiences in Europe.
I asked them to give examples of different situations where they had difficulties either communicating with other people in their environment or...
In our third category, Absolutely Worldwide, Audrius, born in Lithuania and now a light designer in Switzerland, will give us more detailed insights into the online learning platform KeenJar.
And we already see many cases where teacher is based in one part of the world. His students are from all different places and...
Our last category, Absolutely Peaceful, is a kind of festive end-of-year present for our listeners. Dr. John Kressler wrote a novel which tells us an intercultural love story.
Think about a book that talks about love. So it's a compelling love story read, but with a much deeper message.
But now let us start with the show. In some of our previous experiences, we heard a lot about intercultural experiences of exchange students who have come to Europe. They told us about some intercultural incidents which had shocked or embarrassed them in their new surroundings. However, we never asked ourselves how these students could have prepared themselves interculturally so that these painful situations could have been softened or even avoided. In our first category, Absolutely Meaningful, let us listen to Domas, who points us to an opportunity for intercultural preparation by using an online learning platform called KeenJar.com.
Me and other co-founder Odrus, we've been teaching other people for quite some time, many years, and I've been giving violin lessons since, I don't know, I was 19 or so.
Okay.
So for the last 10 years. And then at some point, which happened 1.5 years ago, we both were talking with others and we were thinking, what could we do? Something more meaningful and something which could affect lives and improve lives of many, many people.
Okay.
And then we thought, well, we have some good skills and we like teaching, so we think it would be great if we can just share our knowledge and our skills in some way that it could affect a lot of people. So first what we did, we looked at what exists on the market, and of course we went to YouTube and some other specialized learning platforms, But what we found out after like a few weeks even of doing some research, that none of these existing platforms satisfies our needs. So we thought that we should just do our own. And because we thought, well, if we're doing an online school, so we thought, well, we should make it open. Mm-hmm. Because internet is that means of delivery that it has no boundaries. So we should really use that and make it absolutely open.
Do you consider YouTube to be your biggest competitor, or do you use YouTube? What is your relationship to YouTube?
Well, actually, we see YouTube more as a partner, because we have this one option on Kinjar that you can simply embed your YouTube videos. So if you say if you are already teaching on YouTube, have collection of videos, so what you could do very simply, just create a course from your existing YouTube videos by embedding it.
How could your platform be used to enhance intercultural communication, or do you have any courses that would facilitate that? Or would you say that this is in the social contact that is taking place around the courses?
Well, I think it's at least two parts, because one would be the courses itself. So say there are language courses, like for now we have, you can learn Cantonese or learn English if your English is not that good and you want to improve, or just, you know, you want to improve. And also, because Kinjar was built from very beginning as a global project. And as I said before, internet is some tool which has no boundaries, mm-hmm. unless, of course, some governments choose to censor it, but generally it's open. So this is already like incredibly powerful, because people from anywhere can access anything which is on Kinjar in that case. So what then happens, that say some teacher who is teaching say Japanese arts, he might be or she might be in Japan, and someone being in South America or Africa, Australia, Europe, wherever they are, they have direct contact with them.
I had a look at the courses, and some of the courses are quite funny when you think of it, that this is a course on the internet. I found something on breakdancing, really, ukulele courses.
Yeah.
Do people really sit in front of the computer screen and do this?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Because especially like ukulele, or I have violin course there too. So it's just very, very standard now already. It happens because we have swimming course too, for example.
So, you know. Do people look at that on the laptop when they go to the swimming pool, or do you need your private pool?
So. It's probably more like they watch it at home, like learn some theory, and I suppose they just go and try it after, which is actually a very good way of learning, because I do it a lot with violin. When I teach, I often show some things without the violin, and I ask students to practice without the violin,
mm-hmm.
because this is just first basic step where you can really understand how it works,
mm-hmm.
and you have no disturbances. Because once you're already doing, say, swimming or playing ukulele or whatever it is, so it's already a very complex thing, and I think it's really good to learn just one layer by one layer,
okay.
so that you add on top.
Yes, perhaps it makes sense to start with the basics and know some theories before jumping into the cold water. Many people expect that they will pick up intercultural differences naturally while they're in the new culture. But if you have a theoretical framework before you go, you might do a much better job interpreting the new impressions. In our second category, absolutely experienced, let us listen to Colette. She is now a moderator of an online intercultural preparation course in which students who go to different European countries for their practical training share their intercultural experiences. Colette herself had to do without such training when she moved from Kenya to Europe, and it felt to her a little as if she had been thrown into the cold water. This is why she now appreciates intercultural preparation courses instead of learning the hard way.
I was actually thrown into the cold water, like you said it. And I think that's why I totally appreciate having done my master's degree in intercultural preparation, because later on I was able to understand all the different situations or difficult situations that I had where I had no clue what was going on. I would say that the load that I carried for very many years was a time conception you have in Germany, and I found it really difficult, I would say, to always be very punctual up to the minute. Mm-hmm. I had the experience that in Germany, when you have an appointment at 9 o'clock, then it means 9 o'clock or even 5 minutes before 9, and that's right. Punctual. Yes. And I, as a Kenyan, came in maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes late, and that's also because I missed the bus, which was going to leave at 9:03. And, of course, since I didn't understand what this 03 at after 9 was standing for, I missed the bus because I couldn't believe that there's any bus that will leave at 9:03. So
okay.
I, of course, got very late to my appointment, and this was always a really horrible experience.
Okay, so you read the 9:03, but you couldn't imagine that any bus could come as precisely as that, 3 minutes
yeah,
after 9.
For me it was, I never saw this 3 minutes. For me it was like no time.
Now, in your courses, in the courses where you are moderating these students take a course where they prepare for going to another European country. So the step is not so big, but they are going to prepare interculturally. What does this hands-on learning course offer to its users? Can you please describe that in your own words?
Yes, the hands-on learning course offers different modules that have been specifically developed for students by looking at different key situations which they might come across abroad. For example, we have a module that's called added value to your employer. Mm-hmm. And this is really a module where students are asked to think of what value do they see in themselves that they will take with them abroad. And these are things that we really talk to students about, and we ask them, which areas do you think would be important for you when you go abroad?
Okay.
And we looked at the different key situations and developed them into modules, or a module like dealing with difficulties at the workplace.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is something that students will meet, and we give them different situations, different tasks, sometimes also role plays or examples of students who already had difficult situations, and we ask them to think of and reflect on these situations and see how they could deal with it. And they write all this in a forum where all the other students can see that, and they have a discussion with each other. So the idea is that we have them, we give them real situations they can deal with,
okay.
And then we bring in the intercultural aspect to see how this gives a twist to any problem that you might have, and
okay.
ask them to reflect on it and find the solutions to that.
Can you give us an example of one such problem, and maybe give us an idea of what the students contribute, what kinds of strategies they come up with?
I had a student who was doing an internship in Britain, in London to be more specific, and I asked them to give examples of different situations where they had difficulties either communicating with other people in their environment or doing something with other people in their environment. And this German student said that at the beginning, when she was working in a laboratory, and at the beginning she felt that the British people didn't like her because every time they asked her something, she said it very directly. And in passing the British people, she didn't pick up the British habit of saying excuse me and sorry and thank you at everything,
okay.
because she found this very superficial. She didn't see why she should do this in every few seconds of her day.
Okay, so instead of saying, would you terribly mind opening the window, she would have said, can you open the window, please?
Exactly, very directly. So she didn't use a lot of thank you and please and all this things that are not very common. And in the street, if somebody hit her, then she wouldn't say sorry because it's the other person. And she didn't see why she had to do something like this. And after some time, she started feeling that the British people are avoiding her.
Oh dear.
She wrote in the forum that she feels that she needs to change her attitude and start acting more like the British people because she feels they think she's the rude German.
So she has
to start saying more sorry and thank you and excuse me and not being so direct when she says something. And she said even though she feels a bit uncomfortable, she thinks that's the best way to fit in her new environment.
To adapt oneself to a new environment is essential for the intercultural learning process. On Colette's course, sharing one's practical experience with other people who are in similar situations is the way forward to developing an intercultural awareness that helps us master new intercultural situations. Let us move on to our third category, absolutely worldwide. At the beginning of the show, Domas explained what the main aim of Kinja was, to share our acquired skills with an international audience. His co-founder, Audrius, is going to give us some more detail about how this online school works.
So Kinja is an open online school, which means that it is a place online where anyone can teach and learn. So it's an open platform where people can upload their video courses or video lessons, and then there other people can go and watch these courses either for free or paid.
So if I wanted to do a course, for example, on knitting, I could do a course and put it on Kinja, or how does this work?
Yes, that's exactly how it is. In fact, we have a course on knitting.
Oh, you do? Okay, I didn't see that one.
So, yes, that's exactly how it works. So there are many people who have some skills and who would like to share these skills with friends, with other people. Kinja is that place where we can do it very easily. It's very simple to upload the course, and it's very fast. And in fact, if people already have their course on YouTube or their lessons, we can simply embed them very, very quickly. So right now we have over 150 courses, and maybe half of them or so are to do with software and fine art and photography.
Now, I'm sure that our listeners will rush to your website right after this podcast, but let's give them an idea and a picture of this now. So we go into one specific course, and do you have one in mind that you could explain a little bit?
Sure. So I'll explain first from view of the student. So let's say if I'm working in an office and I have a problem, let's say I want to learn or I need some extra knowledge about some specific software, so I could go on Kinja. And then when I come up, the first thing I'll see, it's our display of all the courses we have. We can just scroll down. That's where I will have to choose which course I want to take. So I can either just browse randomly, or I can type in the search bar. I would click on a course, and then I will end up in a course page. The course page has a short intro video made by a teacher where the teacher explains what is the course about and for whom it's designed.
So okay, so is that general for all the courses, that it starts with an introductory video?
Yes. In addition to introductory video, there is a short summary of the course, so key information. So it says, okay, how long is the course in, mm-hmm, in hours and minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Also, what category it is, what rating it has, when it was published. In addition to course summary, it also has, this course page displays short information about the teacher.
Now, our podcast is about intercultural issues. Does Kinja have an intercultural side to it? Can it be used for intercultural training?
Well, we are online, open online platform, social network. So by definition, it is intercultural because we don't have fixed place. And anyone who has access to internet can use Kinja. So, and we already see many cases where teacher is based in one part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And his students are from all different places, and we exchange ideas, and it just and I also believe that learning and teaching is one of a great sort of linking element which puts people close together from very different cultures, and we can directly learn from each other. So
I think Audrius is right. Learning something new in a group with people from different cultures can be a very powerful intercultural stimulant. This could happen either in a physical classroom or, as in the case of Kinja, in an online environment, where the teacher is in one country and the students are contributing their experiences from different geographical locations worldwide. Now it is time for our last category, absolutely peaceful. The festive season is round the corner, and wherever you are in the world and whatever religion is predominant in your country, there is still a good chance that we will all be listening to jingle bells from the radio one of these days. Do you celebrate Christmas in your country? Will it be a white Christmas, or will you, like me, have a day off on the beach? We asked ourselves what kind of present we could make to our audience in such diverse cultural settings at the end of this year. And we are happy to say we found the perfect intercultural present. John Kressler, who is going to give us some information about his novel called Emeralds of the Alhambra, which tells the story of an intercultural love story involving Christians, Jews, and Muslims.
So this is an interfaith love story, and it's the love is going to blossom between a Muslim princess of the court, Layla al-Khatib, who is based on a real person, and she lives in the palace, and then a Christian knight, William Chandon, is actually going to be wounded in a battle and brought as a prisoner back to the Alhambra Palace to be groomed for use as a political pawn, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to fall in love in this palace, and so through the unfolding of the events of the book and the love story, you get to see the glory of the palace unfold before your eyes.
Right. Who are the Jewish protagonists who come into this?
The chief Jewish protagonist in the story is actually a man by the name of Solomon, which is the royal physician to the Sultan. So he's actually the highest physician in the kingdom and a personal physician to the Sultan and the court. And he actually befriends the Christian knight who is wounded, nurses him
so
back.
So he gets involved.
And becomes very good friends with.
Okay. Now, why do we find it so difficult nowadays to make these three religions live together?
Well, that's a great question, actually, and I've thought a lot about that. I think as you look today around the world and the amount of conflict and strife and tension which is happening, the obvious place to look would be in the Middle East, but not certainly exclusively in the Middle East. And I think, I guess what I would say there is that the reasons for conflict there are not purely religious. They're very complex. There's cultural and ethnicity and political and historical driving forces for a lot of these conflicts as you look, say, around the Middle East. But certainly threaded through that historically has been this lack of acceptance and tolerance and respect between the three, Abrahamic faith traditions, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. And you say, well, why is that? And I think there's a lot of historical precedent. They've kind of been fighting in one way or the other for, centuries now. But I think my point would be, and the great discovery for me, and what I'm trying to break open in my fiction, is the fact that there was an existence proof of people who figured out how to live peacefully together. And to me, that's a very important thing for our modern world to remember. I mean, you talk to most people and you say, well, is it possible for Jews, Muslims, and Christians to live together
to live
in the same place peacefully?
Yeah.
And most people would say, no, not even possible. That's an absurd thought. And I would come back and say, well, actually, if you look at history, even though it's 1,000 years removed, they found a way to do it back in the medieval period in a very unlikely time for them to have done that. And so I think it's a very important reminder for us to take away today. Not that we can do it like they did it necessarily, but the fact that it was done and done for a long time successfully, to me, is encouragement that there should be a way to find peace among us moving forward. And I think that latching on to this notion of mutual respect and tolerance and embraciveness of these societies back then, I think, is what we need to get back to in some way.
Right. Your story is a fictitious one, and I would first of all like to hear is there a happy ending, or do they live together for a while and then they find out that these differences are unbridgeable? And then the second thing, does this also have to do with the characteristics of these individual persons? So not just with the background, but maybe it's also the characters themselves that make it happen.
There is this interplay between, this thematic interplay between love as a bridge across religions and the ugly realities of war in that period that one deals with, right? So there is that tension, and it plays out, I will tell you, it plays out quite dramatically as you move to the end of the book. And I won't give it away because I think that would spoil it for the readers, but I think I've been told by many people that the last 100 pages of the book, as this is coming to a climax, is like a roller coaster ride.
Christmas is around the corner. Why do you think every household should have a book after Christmas?
Everybody should be a reader. I think our world would be a better place if we were readers. And I'll just plug myself a little bit, right? So if you're thinking about a book, think about a book that talks about love. So it's a compelling love story read, but with a much deeper message.
So that's it for today. We pointed you to different options for online intercultural preparation courses. Domas and Andreas explained the advantages of their online learning platform, Kinjar.com. Colette shared her own intercultural experiences moving to Europe and demonstrated an intercultural preparation course called Hands-on Learning. And finally, John Kressler's historical love story is an example of a peaceful, intercultural and interreligious coexistence, where we can learn valuable lessons from people who lived a long, long time ago. Please check out our website absolutely-intercultural.com to get more information about this and previous episodes. By the way, if you cannot wait and would like to hear a preview of our future shows, visit our brand new Absolutely Intercultural YouTube channel. And if you liked our show, please like us on Facebook too. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 4th of January. Until then, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell. Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.